Thanks very much, David. It's great to be back in Willowfield for 17 more people being confirmed. Give yourselves a round of applause. And Tim Burns over there has been counting up for me how many people have been confirmed just in the last 3 months. Which is the time when we do it, in the Diocese of Down and Dromore. And am I right in saying 326? 326-ish people. So I think we should give the diocese a round of applause too. The 326 people have stood up publicly in front of a congregation like this and have declared that they're going to be followers of Jesus Christ. There's one thing that I know about each one of those 326 people that is the same. And I know it's true because they have to stand up and say that it's true. And it's this, that every one of those 326 people has been baptized. Because confirmation is, in a sense, strengthening what we promised when we were baptized. For some of us, we were baptized as little babies. We don't remember the moment when we were baptized. Our parents, in faith, brought us to the waters of baptism and prayed that we would be Christ's faithful soldier and servant to the end of our lives, and we rejoice that God has honored that prayer and has brought us to a living faith. For some of us, that's what's happening tonight. For others, we were baptized later in life and possibly here in this baptismal tank. And we stood in front perhaps of this congregation or another congregation, and we were plunged into the waters of baptism, or we had the waters of baptism poured on us. It doesn't matter. One is as good as the other, but we were baptized in the waters of baptism at a later stage in our lives. And I imagine, actually, that for many of you tonight, that is your experience as well. I was this morning at a fascinating service down at Strangford Lough, where there were two adults being baptized by immersion in Strangford Lough at 9:30 this morning. And we had to send someone in to fight off the jellyfish. At least you don't have that problem here in Willowfield. There may be other things that sting, but not jellyfish anyway. And I have to tell you, your carpet is lovely. That's been done specially for this occasion. Do you like it? Yes, it's fabulous. It's great. So some of you have been baptized as infants, as babies, some of you as children, perhaps some of you in later life. But every one of the 17 people here who are going to be confirmed tonight have been baptized. And in a sense, that is the pattern in the New Testament in the early days of the church. David and I, and Glynis and one or two others actually, have just come back from the Global Anglican Futures Conference in Jerusalem. And we were gathered with 2,000 people on the Temple Mount for a photograph. And we walked on the very steps up to the temple that Jesus walked on. And some of us were taken on a tour to the Pool of Siloam, which was the only source of water in Jerusalem when Jerusalem was under attack. So it was really important to guard that source of water. It's way underground kind of thing, and quite hard to get to it. And it meant that if they were under attack and they couldn't guard that source of water, the other water that was flowing in through aqueducts and things could be cut off and they could be left with no water. And Jerusalem is a very dry place. Israel is a very dry place. And I was thinking to myself, those 3,000 we just read about in the Acts of the Apostles on the day of Pentecost who responded to Peter's preaching, where did they baptize 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost? And the answer we were given was this, that when you went up to the temple, up those steps with people from all over the known world of the time who believed in Yahweh as their God, when you went up on that amazing trip to the temple, which was possibly for some people a once-in-lifetime experience, before you went into the temple, there were about 300 baths. And all the pilgrims, before they went into the temple, would have gone and plunged themselves in the bath so that they would be ritually purified before they entered into God's presence. And that probably is where the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost were baptized. What I want to do with you tonight is to give you a very simple understanding of what baptism is as we look back on our baptism. And some of you here will probably not have been baptized. And I want to say to you, if you believe in Jesus, baptism is something that is such a joy and such a privilege and such an honor to be part of, as it were. If you believe in Jesus, come and speak to David or someone afterwards, and you will be baptized as quickly as we can ever do it here in Willowfield Church if you're a believer in him, because it really is important. In the New Testament, there is no such thing as an unbaptized Christian. When you become a Christian, when you decide to follow Jesus, the first thing you do is get baptized. So much so that the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized in the middle of the desert, and the Philippian jailer was baptized in the middle of the night. As soon as you decide to follow Jesus, come to the waters of baptism if you haven't already been baptized. So what I want to give you is the 1, 2, 3, 4 of baptism, right? And you'll say these after me, right? I'll give you the words to say in a moment. Baptism is into one church. Say one church. One church, one church, one church, one church, one church, right? Sometimes at confirmation services, I have embarrassed clergy, but I would never do it in Willowfield. And I've embarrassed clergy and members of the congregation by asking them, how many of you were baptized Church of Ireland? People put their hands up very proudly, yes, except that you're wrong. Nobody has ever been baptized Church of Ireland, Presbyterian, Baptist, Roman Catholic, or anything else. There is only one church. By the one Spirit, we were all, says St. Paul, baptized into one body. That is the body of Jesus Christ. You are not baptized to make yourself a member of a denomination. You are baptized because you are claimed to be Jesus Christ's and his alone. And I'll tell you why that matters. Because we've just been, as I said, in Jerusalem. And on the Sunday morning, we went to church in a place called Christ Church Jerusalem at the Jaffa Gate in Jerusalem. And we gathered with believers from all over the world. And it was an amazingly joyful experience. And there were so many people there that they had to have one service inside the church and another service outside the church. There's a wee story that I sometimes tell. You may have heard me say it before. I know my wife has, but she's heard all my stories before, I think. I went on one occasion when I was a student hitchhiking with 6 others around Greece. And we got on a boat and we went to Crete. And we got off the boat at Crete and we needed to find somewhere to stay. And we stayed in this little place called a pension near Heraklion in Crete. And noticed when we went to our rooms that there was a Gideon's Bible in each of the rooms. And beside the Gideon's Bible was a little note that there was church in a little evangelical church not very far away where these people who ran the place obviously belonged to. So off the six of us went to this tiny little church in Greece. And they asked us to sing. We couldn't sing, but we did sing. We had to sing. They didn't know what we were singing about. Didn't matter. We didn't know what they were saying either. And at the end of this service, we came out, and a little, tiny, frazzled, whatever you call it, aged Greek widow wearing all black, who looked as though she was about 90 years of age, came up to me and put her arms around me. And she'd worked out how to say one thing in English, and it was this: we will meet in heaven. I still feel the emotion of that moment, because I hadn't been a Christian very long. And I discovered in that moment what I hope that you have discovered, either from people of other, from other parts of the world being here, or from you going to other parts of the world, that when you are a Christian, when you are baptized into Jesus Christ, you are part of a universal church. You're part of an outfit that exists in every part of the world. And at the conference we were at, we had people, for example, from Myanmar, Burma, telling us the story of how they suffered for Christ and were persecuted for Christ. We are part of them. Mark and Liz Fellison-Haw in Phnom Penh, we are part of them. The church is there. The church is in every single nation of the world, and we are part of that one church. The second thing about baptism, well, we say one church again. Are you ready? One church.
One church.
Two births.
Two births.
Again, you haven't got it yet. Two births. Two births. When Jesus meets with Nicodemus and says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again, or you must be born anew, or you must be born from above. All those are possible translations of what he said. Nicodemus, you must be born again. What he's saying to Nicodemus is this: that by our ordinary human birth, we are simply human beings. If we are to be alive spiritually, we need to be born again of the Spirit of God. That is the only way in which we can have the new birth that he's talking about. And then he says, Nicodemus, you must be born of water and the Holy Spirit. And what he's saying in that, I think, is saying something like this: that baptism is a sign and a symbol of the cleansing that we need to have if we are to be born again in Christ. And baptism is a sign and symbol, and it's particularly clear when people are submersed right under the water. It's a sign and symbol that we have to die to sin and be raised again in Jesus Christ to a new quality of life, a new dimension of life, what's called in the Bible eternal life. And I imagine, I'm just guessing, that some of you who will be sharing your stories later on, you have at some point in your life either come into a service of worship and known that there was more, or you've met someone whose life has been transformed by Jesus Christ and you've known that there was something missing in your life. And it's only when you realize by the Spirit of God the truth about Jesus and allow yourself to be born in him that you really understand. And then you look back and think, well, Why did I not get that before? I had a friend, actually. Her brother was my closest friend when I was young. And she became a Christian well into her 30s. And she kept saying to me, why did you not tell me this before? I thought, I did tell you it before, but you didn't get it. Yeah, you understand? Yeah. And when it clicks, it says, just like being born for the first time, you come out of the womb. And when you were in the womb, if somebody has said to you in the darkness and the wetness of the womb, if somebody had said to you, there's a big world out there, you wouldn't believe them. If somebody was to say to you, there are colors out there, you wouldn't believe them. And there are lots of other people out there, and there are relationships out there, and there's a dimension of life out there that you can't understand from the closed place of in here in the womb. If somebody had been able to speak to you, you wouldn't have believed them. And it's just like that with being born again of the Spirit of God. You couldn't have believed that there was this dimension in life that you didn't have before. And you look back and you think, why did I not get that? And there may be people in whom, or over whom, the Spirit is hovering in this gathering tonight. Just simply saying to you, that's true. That really is true. Just ask Him, ask God to reveal to you that new dimension of life. And to bring you into that new dimension of life, which you can't create for yourself any more than you created the world outside the womb. But God can make that known to you by the power of His Spirit. So, one church, two births. Let's say that together. One church, two births. Now, this is more difficult. Three persons of the Trinity. Say that with me. Three persons of the Trinity. What does it say in Matthew, in what's called the Great Commission at the end of Matthew? All authority has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the
Father
and of the and of the
Holy Spirit.
Right. Now, there's an angle on that I want to take tonight, because we're talking about how this all becomes real for us. There are some of us, or there are some people, who get the dimension of the first person of the Trinity. They love to be on mountains and looking at the creation, or in big cathedrals and thinking of the greatness and the majesty and the holiness and the awesomeness of the God who created the universe. And they come into faith in God through the realization that our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. Or there are some who come in through another dimension of the first person of the Trinity. We come in because we need a father. We need to know there is a good, good father. That's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And perhaps there's a dimension in our own parenting or our own fathering that we have missing, and we find fulfilled in the wonder of the first person of the Trinity. There are others who come to faith because they are captivated by the second person of the Trinity. You can imagine what it was like when Jesus was walking those streets in Jerusalem, or when Jesus was around Lake Galilee and He was talking to the disciples and He was teaching the disciples and He was healing the sick and He was living a life the like of which no one had ever seen before. And you're drawn to the very person of Jesus. Or you're drawn to Jesus on the cross, taking your sins upon Him, bearing everything, the judgment that we deserve to have for ourselves. And He takes it on Himself on the cross of Calvary on the first Good Friday. And there are others who are drawn into the life of God because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, who perhaps could be drawn in no other way. Because somehow or other that becomes real. That Jesus is not just someone who lived 2,000 years ago. That God the Father is not just in heaven, but that God the Father makes himself known to us through the power of Jesus Christ living today. And you know, you go to a new wine conference or whatever it is, or you come to church like tonight, and you know that it's real here and now. That God the Holy Spirit is present here and now and touches your needs, your issues, reaches into your life, gives you the joy that you didn't have before, or enables you to know in a way that you could never have known before that the power of the living Christ is real. And I want to say to all of us who have been baptized, you've been baptized into all of that. Start living into the other bits as well. You've been baptized into everything that is true about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three persons of the Trinity. That's why we're baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So can you remember those three things now? I'll say them all and then we'll say them together. One church. One church. Two births. Three persons of the Trinity. Right, say those all together now. One church, two births, three persons of the Trinity. And the last one, God sends us to the four corners of the earth. Say that with me. Four corners of the earth. Right? Somebody said, I preached this sermon once many years ago, and somebody said, and the last point should be five, put a fiver in the plate. Jesus sends us to the four corners of the earth. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. See, the will, the desire of the risen Christ through his disciples is to transform the world. Now, we haven't much hope of doing that here in Belfast. We can't even go to the four corners of this city, let alone the four corners of the world. Isn't that true? You're not sure. Well, let me ask you how many people here have been reaching out in West Belfast. Some. How many people here even know West Belfast? Very few, a few. It's time we got real with ourselves if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ. We are not given permission to exclude geographical areas or people groups or anything else from the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. We are not even given permission to decide that we're going to stay here the whole of our lives. God might call us anywhere. Goodness me, I'm 68 years of age. I still have to know, even though I'm building a house, God can call us anywhere. God can call us anywhere, to any people group, to any place. And a church which is living out the truth of our baptism will know that and bless that and enable that and do that. And I just wonder, is there something in your head at this moment that's saying, yeah, what about that? God placed that on my heart, that group of people, that person, and I decided, no, I couldn't go there. I couldn't do that. You know, I commissioned Glynis recently with other evangelists. And Glynis was with us, as I said, in Jerusalem. And I discovered at the end of the week that I'm not an evangelist at all. because I discovered that Glynis had been evangelizing in the hotel, in the lifts, in the streets, and even at the Wailing Wall. It just comes naturally to her. And there are some people who are evangelists by nature. But all of us need to somehow change the perspective with which we see things so that we claim the whole of the world for Jesus Christ and not just the bits that we know or understand or are comfortable with. And our calling is not just to make people Christians. It's not just to evangelism. In our linked diocese in Albany, they have a phrase that says, disciples making disciples. Jesus doesn't say, go and evangelize everybody. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. That is, learners, followers, people who will gather around the teacher of all teachers, teaching them everything that I have commanded you. Not just bits and pieces. In the Church of Ireland, I want to say, and I've often said this to Tim, we are really good at bringing people to faith. We are really good at bringing people to faith, but we are not always as good at giving people what they need to be discipled as followers of Jesus Christ with the whole of their lives. We need to learn something in that. So I want to say to you, baptism, the thing that I know to be true of all of you who are being confirmed, the thing that we're going to strengthen tonight in you by the laying on of hands, just as the apostles did in the New Testament when they came round and laid on hands and asked for the strengthening power of the Holy Spirit. Baptism has so much in it. I just want you to say in your heart of hearts, baptized as an infant, a child, or an adult, or whatever, it doesn't matter. What matters is that it's real now. I want you to say, thank you, Lord, that you have brought me into all of that. One church, two births, three persons of the Trinity, and send me to the four corners of the world. Thank you, Lord. There is so much in it. And thank you for those of you tonight who are confirming that before this congregation. Amen.